Hey friends, welcome to Proof to Product. I'm your host, Katie Hunt. This week, we are amplifying the voices of Black artists and business owners by rerunning three of our previous podcast episodes. Yesterday, we heard from Janetta Gonzalez, a Los Angeles-based artist specializing in licensing and surface pattern design. Today, we have Genesis Duncan of Graphic Anthology on the show. She is a Paper Camp alum and one of our Proof to Product Lab members. She's talking about how she had to shift her mindset and really step into her role as the CEO of her business. Tomorrow, we have online business leader Nicole Walters, who will share why you cannot rely solely on social media for sales. I hope you will enjoy this special series, and please join me on Instagram at Proof to Product, where I'm highlighting our community members and leaders that we are actively learning from.
We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today on the show, I have one of our Paper Camp alumni, Genesis Duncan of Graphic Anthology. Based in Portland, Oregon, Genesis started Graphic Anthology in 2010 with three art prints and an Etsy shop. Almost a decade later, her product line has grown to include a wide range of greeting cards and gift items that focus on joy, simplicity, and strengthening relationships with those you love most. Today's episode is a powerful one, and I know it's going to resonate with many of you. We talked about how Genesis started her business as a creative outlet and hobby, and then why she had to shift her mindset and step into her role and title as an entrepreneur and business owner. She also shares how adding a line of Spanish greeting cards was not only beneficial to her business, but also her personal development. Genesis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Katie. It's so good to be on your podcast. Thanks.
I am so excited to have you. I love having our alumni back. I love hearing how your businesses have evolved, how things have changed. But let's kick this off and tell everyone first what types of products you make and sell.
So I have a greeting card and gift business. The core of my line is greeting cards, but I also do paper laid gift items like art prints, gold foil imprinted pencils, gift tags, mini notes, those kind of things.
Awesome. And which sales channels do you utilize in your business?
So I have my own website through Shopify, and I also still am on Etsy. And then I also do wholesale through fair, trade shows. I have reps. So I'm all over the place.
The whole gamut. Yeah. Retail and wholesale, though, is your main too. That's awesome. Okay. Did you always know that you wanted to be a business owner? What's the backstory there?
So yes and no. I am a child of entrepreneurs. Both my parents had their own businesses. And so I think from an early age, I kind of thought that that's what I would want to do. But at the same time, I also always thought that there would be some structure, like, oh, I'd go and work for this company and I would do these things. And so I think it's a blend of both. But also when I think about it too, you know, my play as a child, I would play that I owned a hotel or I owned a restaurant, or it was all these very things where I was in charge. And my mom, I remember she told me a few years back, she's like, I found one of your journals. And in my journal, I had written Gin International, Gin International, Gin International. And so she thought it was funny. She's like, when other, you know, teen girls are writing, you know, boys' names, I was like, Gin International. So I think
you're manifesting the business you're ultimately going to have.
Yeah. So I think in the back of my mind, I always kind of came to that. But I will say I resisted it a lot in the beginning and thought, oh, I'll get a full-time job with benefits and it'll be great. And that's what you're supposed to do. So
is that what you did then at the beginning before the business?
So yeah, I basically ended up working in a mailroom. I was doing desktop publishing at the time and kind of managing this mailroom, and it was a great job. It was actually a really great first job. And I did that for a while and I enjoyed the people I worked with, but life intervened and I kind of fell into what I'm doing now. So I became an entrepreneur by accident, actually.
You are not the first accidental entrepreneur that I've talked to. How did you fall into this business?
So it's kind of a depressing story, but basically I had started freelancing. I was doing freelance design work, and my father-in-law was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And so my husband and I had made the decision, because you know, I had the flexibility of freelancing, that he would do hospice at home with us and I would become his primary caregiver. And so, you know, in my mind, initially, I thought, oh, it's no big deal. I can still go to client meetings. I can do, you know, hop on calls. Well, you can't really. And so, you know, as great as my clients were, you know, business started to dry up and stuff. And so I kind of really was like, I need to do something. I need to do something creative. I need to do something for me. I need something cheerful. So I decided to kind of start designing art prints. Like, some were kind of inspirational, but others were just pattern based. And I was like, I'll put them on Etsy and maybe I can make a few extra bucks, you know, and feel like I was contributing. And
Can I stop you for 1 second? I just want to applaud the fact that you were a caregiver like that. My mother-in-law had severe health issues as well, and we were taking care of her it wasn't hospice and all that, but we were taking care of her at a very young age as well. And I just, kudos to you. That is a full-time job and it's a very important job. But I know it takes its toll on those that are caring for others. I thank you for sharing that story with us and being vulnerable. And I appreciate it.
Well, I'm always kind of uncomfortable sharing that, because I kind of, you know, it's like, I sometimes I feel like, oh, you know, you're fishing for, you know, sympathy, but it's like, no, it's really, I realize too. And especially the more people in the greeting card industry I meet, I realize how many people come to greeting cards because they're trying to say things or they're trying to feel more connected. Yes. And so I know that there's other people who have this kind of, maybe it's not a caregiver experience, but a similar experience in that they're trying to kind of fill a void or they're trying to solve something within themselves or in their lives and finding a way to communicate that. And so, but I mean, at the same time, it was tough, but also I probably wouldn't be here doing this business that I love if it hadn't been for that.
I am a firm believer that all of the different things we experience in life are there for a reason. You know, they help to shape us for who we're meant to be and where we're meant to go. So again, thank you for that story. How long did it take you to realize that you were building more than just a hobby?
Years. I was kind of in denial about the whole thing, right? Because it was like, this is just a side thing. It's just until, you know, I can go back to work. And the whole concept was always that I was going to go back to work. I was getting a full-time job. It was, you know, that was the plan. And, you know, when my father-in-law died, my dad ended up getting sick with cancer right after that. And so I went through hospice with him. So it was like this whole thing where it was like,
I'm sorry.
Every time I was like, I'm going to get back to where I was meant to be, something would happen. And after my dad died, my husband and I ended up moving to be near my mom for a while. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get this job. So I got this full-time job and, you know, I would go and I would work doing marketing and come home and pack orders that, you know, that had come in on Etsy during the day.
Yes.
And I was just burning out. And I kind of got to this point where I was like, this is ridiculous. I need to make a decision here. Either I'm going to give up, you know, and at the time it was pretty much just like art prints. And I think I was doing tea towels, but I was like, I'm going to give up this kind of gift business I've started building and focus on just getting a job and doing what I'm supposed to do. Or, you know, it's like, let's give up the job and put more time into the gift business and see what can happen. And I just kind of wrestled with that for a long time. And then my husband and I got an opportunity to travel to Southeast Asia for a couple months. And while I was there, I really was like, what do I want to do? What do I want to come back to? What do I want to come back to? And I realized my heart was just in the gift
thing.
That's
awesome.
I just was like, I don't want to go back and do marketing. As much as I love the people I work with, I love my job, I just was like, it's not me anymore.
Yeah.
And so I came home and committed and I haven't looked back.
That is amazing. You had mentioned to me previously that one of your biggest challenges in business was shifting your mindset and the way you identified yourself as a maker to shifting it to a business owner. Tell me more about this.
So I think this is a struggle that a lot of people go through now that I've, you know, shared my story and talked to people. But, you know, when I started out, I was like, I'm a designer. You know, I'm an illustrator, I'm an artist. And, you know, so I resisted this idea when people would be like, oh, you know, you own your own business. I was like, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm just kind of making pretty things. And I think that really was a block for me to move forward and make bigger decisions because. I wasn't owning that business part. You know what I mean? It was just like, oh, I just happen to be this creative who's making money doing this thing. And I think I kind of came to this point where I was like, no, I need to start thinking about numbers. I need to start thinking about growth. I need to start being smart about things. And even though it means that I spend less time designing and doing the creative stuff, it's just really opened the doors for growth in my business because I'm thinking about it in a whole different way. And I'm thinking about not so much what I want to do, but what my customers want and what they need from me and how I can deliver that to them. And at the same time, without sacrificing, you know, my own, you know, personal feelings about things or my aesthetics. But yeah, there's this different shift. Like I am basically making something for someone else. And how can I do that efficiently? How can I do that sustainably? And it was the game changer. I felt like I stopped fooling around in my, you know, studio office and just was like, no, okay, how am I going to support myself with this? How am I going to support other people?
Yeah. So how did your business change? Like what tactical things changed once you shifted this mindset and stepped truly into your role as a business owner? Like what became easier and what became maybe more difficult?
Well, I would say saying no became a lot easier. I'm still terrible at it. But
you and me both, girl.
But just really, or at least not feeling the pressure to say yes right away, I would say. Really stepping back and saying like, okay, is this really in line with what I want and how I'm planning to grow? How does this fit into the bigger picture? It really helped me get on board with, you know, being better about having deadlines for things and, you know, like with doing wholesale, you have to deliver collections, you know, several times a year. So it's kind of like picking a deadline and being like, I'm going to deliver, you know, by this date. And then all the follow-up that comes out, I got to, you know, have things in the printer. I have to shoot my collection so that I can put it in my catalog. And so it made it a lot easier to set those deadlines and stick to them.
It's interesting too, when we do step into this role is like, no, my job as a CEO is to make sure the business is running smoothly. And I know a lot of us with small businesses don't really resonate with that title CEO. It just feels so corporate and so big, we're the visionaries for these brands. And so that sometimes means putting some of the creative, I don't want to say putting it the creative on a back burner, but I kind of do because it becomes a smaller piece of what we do on a day-to-day basis, right?
Absolutely.
Because there's the logistics of running the operations of the business and marketing and, you know, production and fulfillment and all of the different things that we have to do if we're hiring a team and scaling or whatever it is that we're choosing to do. And so it is that grappling. I appreciate you sharing your story because I think you are correct that there are many creative entrepreneurs that grapple with this idea of, no, I'm an artist, I'm a designer, I'm not. They also tell themselves stories in their head of, I'm not good at the business side of things. And really, that's not true either. I mean, maybe there's things they can improve, but if they're running the business and, you know, making decisions day in and day out, they truly are running a business. They're an entrepreneur. Yeah. So this is a personal curiosity here, but like where in this journey of switching the mindset from maker to business owner, when did you come to Paper Camp? Like in terms of that timeline?
So that would have been 2016. And so I don't really think that I made the shift to that business owner mindset till after Paper Camp. It was probably late 2016. Cause I think 2017 is when I did my first like big trade show. I'd done like, you know, a little kind of craft show, trade show add-on thing. But I think after doing Paper Camp, it just really gelled a lot of things in my mind. And I think I realized, okay, this is what I want. I want to go after wholesale. I want to focus in on this. And I knew that I would have to get more organized. And I knew that, you know, now I'm thinking more about budgeting. I'm thinking more about, you know, like long-term sales strategies, my collection. And I think, it was kind of right about the time I did go to Paper Camp that I was like, all right, you know, we got to get serious here. Like this is happening.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it helped you because, you know, I'm a firm believer that we need to have strong businesses with great systems and a great product to support all of that, of course. I find it interesting because I am hearing from more creative entrepreneurs that I'm a designer, I'm an artist, I'm a creative. I don't really want to be a business owner. And then they do come through Paper Camp or they, you know, are taking steps in other educational ways, professional development rather. Like, and so they're stepping into it more confidently. And I think some of it has to do with surrounding yourself with other people that are in the same boat and doing the same things as you. And then I think it's also having that level of education gives you more confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
To step into that role. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it gives you words, you know, for what, you know, because I think before Paper Camp, you know, I had some consignment, I had some wholesale. I'd worked with, you know, some bigger accounts, like it was, but it was all stuff that I kind of just said yes to without really knowing what it meant. Yeah. And I think for me, Paper Camp made me realize how hungry I was to grow my business. It made me meet, I met other people who were ahead of me and who were still, you know, they weren't in suits and ties, you know, they were very like, they were fun people who were talking about how they were making their business work and they were starting families or whatever, you know, it was all this stuff where I was like, I think for a long time, I thought, well, if I give in to this whole being a business owner and I have this business, it's going to become stodgy and stiff and I'm going to have to give up a lot of the stuff that I love about being a creative. And I think it was just helpful to realize that I could, you know, still have the creative side. I could still be fun and not have to sit around talking about numbers all day long, you know, and still really be a professional, you know, have a business that was making money and was successful and have the language to talk about, you know, not just be like, oh, I just make these greeting cards, but more like, no, you know, this is, I design and manufacture greeting cards and I'm in X number of stores and, you know, my business is growing X percent, you know, year over year.
And get it, girl.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so it is, it's, I think sometimes you just need to hear other people and learn the language to be able to express yourself in that way and not have it sound, you know, corporate-y or, you know.
Right. 100%. Yeah. I will say, I think that's one of my favorite things about having a business, a small business. Like, we can take on the professionalism and the things we want that we've learned maybe in the corporate world, if you've been in the corporate world, or which you and I both have, but like, we don't have to follow that same path. We can make this whatever we want. We can make things fit with the life we want to have, which is my favorite thing. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's shift gears here a little bit. I want to talk about your product mix and how you are differentiating yourself in the market. You've done some really cool, like you've really infused a cultural piece to your products. So talk about that.
Yeah. So I guess now a couple years, I have been slowly building up Spanish cards in my line and it's been great. I mean, I've had great response and I've gotten a lot more confident about it. And it's really interesting because I never set out to do cards in Spanish at all. And my Spanish is terrible. I was never taught Spanish growing up, even though my grandmother is Mexican. It just was not something, you know, that was talked spoken in our house. And so as an adult, you know, my sister and I both gravitated towards learning Spanish and this part of our cultural heritage and all this stuff. And my sister, you know, I was doing these greeting cards and she's like, why don't you have any cards in Spanish? And I thought, well, why would I do cards in Spanish? I don't speak Spanish. Like, that'd be embarrassing and, you know, terrible idea. And so she was like, no, you should do some because the cards available to a lot of, a lot of the cards in Spanish are, they're flowery and they're just over the top and stuff you'd give your grandma, but not really give your friend. And I hadn't done any research in the marketplace, so I had no idea. But I thought, oh, well, I'll humor her. And so I did a Te Quiero Mucho card. It was my first card in Spanish. It was just block type little heart. And made them for her. And then had some extra and took them to a craft show and they sold out. And I was thinking, and I didn't have a ton of them, but just, I was like, okay, people want to buy stuff.
That was validation, right?
Yeah. So I was kind of like, okay, maybe my sister's onto something. And so I had an existing like candle design that said happy birthday. So I was like, okay, I'll put Feliz Cumpleaños down there and see what happens. That did well. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to intentionally now maybe add some Spanish cards to my line. And it kind of just worked out and people were excited. I would do these craft shows. And at the time I was still doing craft shows and people would come to me and they're like, I love that you have cards in Spanish. Thank you for having cards in Spanish. And so, you know, that made me feel good. So I was like, great. I love to feel good. You know,
of course. Yes.
So that was kind of eye opening. And then I started noticing that a lot of non-Latinos were buying my cards in Spanish. And so I started kind of talking to people and asking like, why did you choose that card? Or, you know, and so then it became, oh, my niece or my nephew is taking, they're in a Spanish immersion program. Or, oh, you know, my boyfriend is Latino. And so I want to get a card for his mom. Or, and so it kind of just, I started listening to people and getting this feedback. And I thought, okay, I think I'm going to commit and intentionally do a few more. And so I actually have a Spanish tutor. And so I was like, hey, do you want to help me translate these cards so I get it right?
Good thinking.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, I'd love to help. I'd love to make extra money. So I was like, perfect. So I would design these cards and write them the way I thought they were supposed to be written. And she would come back in and correct them. And, you know, I'd send them to print and put them out. And people bought those. And I feel like this is a reoccurring theme in my business. I don't trust enough in the beginning. And I'm like, no, it won't work. And then it ends up kind of snowballing and becomes a thing.
Well, I don't want to tell you, I don't think it's a trust thing. I think you were just testing the market. I think all of those steps of hearing the feedback at the craft shows, seeing what was selling, like, I just think this is, it's one of those happy accidents, right? I mean, it was thoughtful and intentional, but it also worked out in a way that you didn't anticipate and success in a way you didn't anticipate.
Yeah. And I think I also was kind of like, you know, my sister's 9 years younger than me. So I was like, what do you know? You don't know anything about greeting cards. You know, I've been doing this business, which is how I tend to be. But, you know, she was right because she lives in the Dominican Republic. So she was seeing that there was this lack of cards. You know, now you see it a lot more. Like I've met several people who now do cards in Spanish and they're fresh and they're fun and they're modern. But, you know, at the time I was kind of like just looking around like, okay, I didn't really see anything. And I was living in California at the time. So I was like, this is kind of the perfect market. So yeah, so now I have 24 styles, Spanish cards, greeting cards in my line. And it's growing. Every collection I release more. It's been great because it's really allowed me to It's gotten my foot in the door in a lot of places because I think that they see that I offer both and maybe they don't have a huge Latino population living near them. Right. But they're like, we want to have some diversity in our product offerings. We want to have a couple Feliz Cumpleaños cards on the shelves. And so that's gotten me into a lot of stores. And also just within Latin America, you know, it's like, you know, I picked up stores in Mexico and in Guatemala and places like that just because
that's awesome.
I offer that. You know, they still buy cars in English, right. But it's just been this great experience. And then, you know, on a personal note for me, you know, it's also been something my Spanish has gotten a lot stronger. And, you know, so it's that cool thing about making business sustainable for you. It's like I kind of stumbled into this, but in a way it's made me grow as a person. It's made my product selection grow and serve my customers in a way that I hadn't thought possible in the beginning.
As you were telling this story, that was the first thing that came to mind. I'm like, I love how this shift in your product line has not only enhanced your business, but also the personal growth and development of having a tutor you're working with and getting back to your own Latina roots. Like, I just think it's pretty incredible, like the language and all of it. So kudos to you on that. And thank you for sharing that. I think the increasing the inclusion and diversity, that is very important. And the fact that it ties back to you too with your family, I think is it gives you another layer of the story to tell too, which is great.
Yeah. And I think it's allowed me to take some risks too, because in the beginning I was like, well, you know, what kind of frame of reference am I going to design these cards from? What kind of illustrations am I going to put on there? And then I kind of realized that I can put whatever I want. I just have to be, you know, you have to be mindful, you know, about cultural stereotypes and things like that. But
of course, yes.
I kind of was like, why can't it be like my cards that I do in English? You know, like, why does it have to be something bigger than that? Why can't it just be a really beautifully illustrated or designed card with a sweet sentiment in Spanish? Because, I mean, that's what I do in English. I do these really colorful, simple illustrations with sentiments and happy sentiments in English. So let's just do that for Spanish. And it's, you know, it's worked out great. And I think I've also gotten a lot more confident in what I'm willing to how I'm designing my cards and what I'm willing to put on a card in Spanish. And first I was like, people are going to find out I'm a fraud, you know?
No.
But it's been great. And I've met so many amazing people who are like, you know, other Latinos who are just like, this is awesome. You're doing this. And that is just amazing, amazing gratification. So it's, yeah, that's the part of my line that I'm the most jazzed about. I just like want to just design. I'm like, I just want to design all cards in Spanish.
I can see on your face. I know our listeners can't see your face, but I can see how you're lighting up talking about this segment of your business. And I think it's phenomenal. I think it's really, really exciting. So thank you for sharing that with us. You know, you've been in business a while now. You started as a hobby, you transitioned into your full-time gig, you've had some transitions and shifts and pivots. Given all of that, what advice would you give to somebody that is just starting out in this physical product world? Like, what would you have changed about your own journey, or what would you want them to pay attention to?
Oh gosh, there's a ton of things, but I would say definitely being more thoughtful about what you say yes to. I think, especially for me in the beginning, I was just so excited by everything. I said yes to so many things and signed like licensing contracts that were not good fits, things that tied me up, and that just things that I was just like, I won't get another chance. I have to do this now. And I think now I'm realizing, no, there's always going to be more opportunities that are going to come down the pipeline. And it's a matter of, you know, and I've heard you mention this before, knowing your why and just being like, why am I doing this? You know, like, where do I want this to go?
Yeah.
What's the end goal here? And being smart about what you choose to say yes to earlier, instead of waiting till, you know, like, I think for me, I was like, well, when I have more money or I have more stores or when I have more this or that, then I can be more picky, right? And I'm like, if I had really streamlined things earlier on and said no to a lot more things that in my gut I knew was a terrible fit, I would have been ahead of the game. But also at the same time, I would also say, really do listen to that gut feeling. And if it's telling you that you want to keep it slow, and, you know, I've realized this about myself, I am not a risk. I'm not a huge risk taker, and I'm never going to be the person, the business that grows super fast. I am more deliberate about things, and that's okay. Accept that about yourself. And I think it'll make your business journey a lot easier, you know, and then also just really invest in your product line. Make something that you're proud of. Don't just jump on every bandwagon. Like, I remember when everybody started doing enamel pins, and I was like, I gotta do enamel pins. And I was looking at pricing, and I was looking at these things, and I was like, this doesn't make sense for me to do it. And then it was like, what, wrapping paper? I was like, I gotta do wrapping paper. And then,
oh my gosh, like, wrapping paper has been so tough for a decade now.
Yes. And then
beyond,
you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, again, just, it's okay not to do everything, and it's okay to just work on your products and do something that you're comfortable with and that you enjoy and that you can be proud of. And I think that's the thing, even if it's just, you know, greeting cards, or even if it's greeting cards and art prints, you know, you don't have to do everything. It's about just making a product that you can be excited about and confident in. And if you can be confident in your product, people will buy it, because you will be able to sell it to them.
100% agree with you. Thank you. I'm over here nodding my head. Yes, 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 yes. I agree wholeheartedly with you. Well, what's next for Graphic Anthology?
Okay. So this year was kind of rough. I did a lot. I spread myself very thin. And so I think next year is about really getting back to basics in a lot of ways. It's time I offloaded some stuff. I need to delegate, which I actually just listened to your podcast about delegating. So it's, you know, I'm growing, and I really need to just kind of focus on the, well, kind of in our conversation today, focus on the business aspects of things, like really getting my accounting straight. I am using Zoho now. And so really, you know, getting everything organized and connected so I can run reports and I can make smarter business decisions. And so it's a lot about, you know, just the business fundamentals next year.
Love it.
You know? So planning for growth.
Excellent. So. Okay. Well, tell everybody where they can find you online, where they can check out your products and follow you on social media. Give it all to us.
Okay. So I'm on the interwebs at graphicanthology.com and social media. I'm actually terrible at, but most of the time, if you want to connect, it would be through Instagram. So at graphicanthology. And I think that's about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much for your time. I really enjoyed this interview. I enjoyed what you talked about working through the mindset shift of how you identify yourself as a business owner. That is a real thing. And so I've been wanting to talk about it on the show. And when your story, you know, popped in and it was like filling, I just thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to talk about something that's so important. And two, how you're filling a need too with differentiating your product. I think this was a really important and valuable conversation. So thank you for taking the time to have it with me.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be on the podcast. I'm very excited. And yeah, I guess I'll just be seeing you around at a trade show or something. Otherwise,
you can't get rid of me. You know that. All right. Thanks, girl.
All right. Bye, Katie.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.